There we go. Walking up here, I had a horrible flashback to when I was a kid on a 5 meter diving pool at my 5 meter diving pool at my swimming pool. It's a bit bizarre looking. I'll try not to look down too much. It's a very strange setup being above a pool of water. We're thinking about, if it wasn't clear already, it's okay to not be okay. Sometimes, if you spend a lot of time with children, or if you spend any time with children, you may notice that young children ask questions. Ask questions maybe a bit like this. Where does the sun go when it's dark? They have a knack for asking the questions that are really hard to answer, or at least in a way that you can make them understand. Maybe young children have asked you questions like this. Why do sheep and cows sleep standing up? I'm looking around for someone who might know a bit more about sheep and cows than me. I'm hoping these questions are true as well. Maybe sometimes they've asked questions like this. Why do we have to be young and grow old rather than be born old and get young? And in fact, there's a whole film that explored that idea a few years back, some of you may have seen. Maybe other questions young kids have asked you is, in the olden days, was everything black and white, Grandad? Is that true? Was everything really black and white? Maybe some bizarre ones, and if anyone genuinely knows the answer to this, please let me know. What is the name of the space between the bits that stick out on a comb? I'm looking for anyone. No, no one. Okay, I don't know if there is actually an answer to that question in the spirit of answering questions. Maybe as a parent, the question that you dread the most, the question that pops into your mind that you're hoping your children, I know I'm hoping my children don't ask me this for many years to come. Dad, where do babies come from? Of which everyone knows the only right answer is ask your mother and then run far away before she finds out what you've done. But there is something about that childhood innocence, isn't there, of asking questions, asking tough questions, asking interesting questions, asking questions that maybe don't have an answer, but still asking them. And I wonder if actually sometimes as adults or people older than young children, whatever age we consider ourselves, we have that problem, don't we? Maybe we don't ask questions. Maybe the time this morning where you text in the question, that's been a question on your mind for a long time. And it's only when you had that slightly anonymous opportunity to ask the question. And I read through with Andy some of those questions. And I would encourage people to, I'm not clearly going to answer all of those questions this morning, but I would encourage you that if you've took the time to answer one of those questions, try and find a place where you can speak to someone, maybe more personally, about that question. Because some of those were actually quite deep questions. And I hope that you do find someone who can grapple with that question with you and you're not stuck thinking about it. But why don't we ask questions? Or why don't we ask more questions, maybe? I think sometimes, actually, our pride gets in the way, doesn't it? We feel that we should have the answers. Maybe we consider ourselves someone who's the one who answers other people's questions. Maybe we think, you know what, I shouldn't be the one asking questions. I'm going to look a bit silly if I do that. So maybe our pride gets in the way. Maybe it's something else. Maybe our insecurity. Maybe we're worried about asking the silly question. I didn't see any silly questions come in on the text this morning. They all look pretty sensible. But there's certainly, I've been in situations in business, in rooms, where people don't ask questions because everyone's afraid of asking the silly question. No one wants to pipe up. But what I've found with that is actually, amongst people here in church situations, home groups, other places where we have times of asking questions, it's been very rare that I've asked a question and the entire room has burst into laughing at me because of what I've asked. You're gracious, loving people. Even if it has been a silly question, someone's just taken the time to point something obvious out to me or at least do it in a kind and loving way. But on the flip side, what I've found quite a lot of times is that someone has asked a question and in about half the room has then said, oh, thank you for asking that question. I really wanted to ask that question, but I was worried. And maybe we've had that situation. Sometimes actually, by being the ones who put our hands up and ask the question, we can bless other people. We can bless those around us. The answer might benefit us, but we might also have released other people who are afraid to answer that question. Maybe sometimes the reason we don't ask questions is a bit more deep-rooted. Maybe we're actually afraid of the answer. Maybe we know the answer and we just don't want to hear it said out loud by someone else. Maybe the answer to that question is a challenge to us. Maybe it means we have to change our behaviour. Maybe it means we have to think about things differently. Sometimes the problem is that we know the answer to the question, we don't want to hear it out loud. In the morning here, we're working through a series called It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And we're trying to get across the encouragement. We're trying to get across the idea that actually we don't have to pretend everything is fine. If you're here the first week, you remember the clip Andy showed of the family arriving to church and they were all immaculately dressed and waving to everyone and looking great. And then the video then jumped back and showed that their house was on fire and showed how they got to church that morning and all these sorts of things. Sometimes when we come along to church, there's this pretense that, yes, I'm fine. And if people ask us, how are you doing? We reply, yes, I'm great, I'm okay, no problems. Part of this series is trying to get to a point where actually we can share honestly with each other and say, I'm not okay. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not pretend everything's fine. However we think about being okay. This week it's titled, It's Okay to Ask Questions. Maybe another way of thinking about it is, it's okay if we don't understand everything. It's okay if we don't know everything in the Bible, if we don't know what Isaiah 53 is talking about, the verses that were quoted in the verses we read today. It's okay if we don't have all the answers, and I'm hoping that is okay, because I don't have all the answers to those text messages sent this morning. But maybe this is what lies at the root of the problem for us. We all like to be self-sufficient, don't we? We like to work things out ourselves. We don't want others to question our knowledge, or maybe as kids put it, we don't want to be seen as a bit dumb. We don't want to be seen as not understanding things. Maybe we deal with this in the complete opposite way as the Ethiopian deal with it. We're going to look at the passage a bit more, but one thing you get across from that is he was very much okay with not knowing the answer. He was very much okay asking someone else to help him the question. Maybe we need to be a bit more like this little girl, if this is going to work. I don't know. Maybe we need to be a bit more childlike. She seems very okay with not knowing the answer. There's no pretense there with her. She seems pretty much fine with saying, I don't know. And maybe we need to be a bit more like that sometimes, admitting that we don't know the answer. I want you to think for a minute, if any of you take public transport, maybe some of you commute to work on the tube or the bus or anything like that, or time to time use it. How would you respond if you were sat on the bus, on the tube, you were reading maybe your Bible because it fits a bit nicer with the story here, but reading anything, and someone came up to you and said, do you understand what you're reading? A complete stranger. I might not take that question the best way. I might not answer in the same way. In our Bibles, if you haven't already got it open, Acts 8 that we're reading from, Acts 8:31, we see this playing out with Philip and the Ethiopian. Acts 8:31. At the end of 30, Philip asks, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian replies, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. You could sort of see this in a couple of ways, couldn't you? You could see saying, of course I don't understand. How am I going to understand this? I'm just reading it for the first time. That's a bit of a silly question. Can you not just ask that question? Can you explain it to me? But I think he's probably a bit more genuine. He's saying, actually, I don't understand this. Yes, I would really like someone to explain it to me. It's amazing that you've just appeared asking me that question. What's going on here? And maybe that's that challenge for us, because we have questions. And maybe there's times that people around us are willing to answer those questions and we don't let them. Maybe when we hear the equivalent of this question, do you understand what we're reading? We put on a front and say, of course I understand what we're reading. And then we go away and look up on Google or look in a, you know, some other way of finding out, because we don't want to admit that we don't know what we're reading. And part of the challenge in these verses for us is actually to be a bit like the Ethiopian and be open and honest to admit we don't know what we're reading. But I think as well, there's something in this for us to be like Philip, to look at what Philip does in these verses. It's a real clear example of actually how you can relate to other people. We might find ourselves in situations where we're alongside someone, we're spending time with someone, and questions come up. And these passages give us quite a nice way of understanding how we can start to answer people's questions, how we can do this together. Because if we're going to ask questions, it'd be really helpful if there was someone to answer some of those questions. Or, at the very least, someone to grapple with those questions with us. I don't imagine that we can get answers for our questions all the time. Part of that is actually realising that sometimes, and we sang it in some of the songs this morning, God's grace is enough. Sometimes there isn't easy, nice, short answers to all our questions. Sometimes we have to accept that God's grace helps us out. Sometimes God will put in people's minds an answer to that question. But at the very least, it's really good that if we do have questions, we know that we can go to some other people and they can grapple with those questions with us. And in my time here at this church, I've definitely experienced this. I've definitely had beneficial times where people in this church have helped me out with answering my questions. Maybe not as specific as what's going on in Isaiah 53, but more general questions. Recently, I've been thinking quite a lot about what should I do next for my job. That's because I was made redundant months ago. And so it's been on my mind. And I've taken the time to ask people here in various different ways, what should I do about my job? What should I look for in my job next? How do I go about looking for a job? Those sorts of questions. So sometimes we have specific questions from the Bible, and I saw that in a text this morning, but sometimes we have more general things. And some of those questions are revealing deep things that people here are struggling with. Where should we live? What house should we buy? Where should we work? How should we relate our faith to the people we know? How should we deal with this situation we're struggling with? Sometimes we have those questions. And I hope that you too have found the time in your church, whether it's the first time or other times, I hope you find the opportunity to ask those questions to people. And we do have something at the end of the service, and Andy will probably mention it again, we do have a specific time where you can go to people who sit down here, and if not answer your questions, at the very least they will pray with you, listen to your question and pray with you and ask God to help you get some understanding of that situation. So what does Philip do in these verses? What's going on? The first thing to understand is that he obeys God. He's where he is because God's told him to go there. He's doing what he does in this situation because God puts him in that situation. He didn't wake up in the morning and thought, I'm just going to walk along that road for the fun of it and see what happens. God very directly told him to be there. We might not have that direct approach. I don't know if it happens many times that you find God tells you to go to a specific place. But part of that is that we follow what God wants us to do. Philip is faithful to God. Secondly, he understands or takes some time to understand the situation. If we're going to hope to have help someone out in answering their questions, we kind of need to make sure we really know what they're questioning, what they're struggling with. Sometimes it's too easy to think, oh, I know the answer, and dive in. He takes some time to listen to what the eunuch's reading. He takes some time to understand the passages. He takes some time to know what he's doing before he starts to question him. And actually, Philip himself then asks the question we talked about before. Do you understand what you're reading? And however we might respond to that, in this situation, the Ethiopian official responds in a good way. He wants someone to ask that question. He's very happy that someone asked him that question. He wants to know more about what he's reading. He obeys God, he understands the situation, he asks the question, and then he takes his opportunity. He's invited up into the chariot. He goes and sits by the Ethiopian official, and it progresses from there. And sometimes for us, we have to take our opportunities. Maybe it's a throwaway comment from someone we know, and we know that holds something deeper. Maybe it's a question we get asked when we're busy and we need to come back to it, however we might need to deal with it. But we need to take our opportunities. I know it's hard for people to ask these questions, looking at the questions that were texted in, they're not easy questions to ask, and I'd hope that if we're in situations where people ask us similar questions, we take our opportunity to try and answer that question or struggle with that person through the question. And then, well, he doesn't just answer the question, does he? If you look in the verses, 34 and 35. He does a bit more. 34 and 35, it says, "The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." I don't think he's saying that any time anyone asks about any passage of the Bible, we jump to the good news about Jesus, but I think we should have it in our minds. There are situations where it's good to go beyond the question the person is asking. If we see that that's the starter of a way into something, Philip's particular role was very much what we call an evangelist, and he was probably doing this more often than not, taking his opportunity to share the good news of the early church. But it's actually something that we're all commanded to do. Maybe you know this verse from 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15 says the following: "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." That's what Philip's doing here. He's prepared to give an answer. He has an answer for the reason for the hope that he has. He has an answer that points to Jesus. He doesn't just answer the question in the short way and then move on. He takes it further. He points things to the good news of Jesus. Because actually, sometimes it would be quite easy to treat questions a bit like this. Before you get a bit confused, this wasn't actually a question for £500,000 on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, just in case there's any confusion. But sometimes we might treat questions like this, don't we? We might treat questions as, great, I know the answer, I'm going to get a point, fantastic. And there are times in church where we have quizzes and we give out prizes to kids or adults maybe around Bible passages. And it's good that we know our Bible, but if we're just doing it for the sake of being able to answer questions in quizzes, maybe we're missing the point. Philip wasn't really doing it for that reason. He was answering this question so that he could help the Ethiopian develop his relationship, or start, in fact, a relationship with God. He pointed him towards Jesus, and he took the question further. He didn't just give the quick answer. He didn't phone a friend or whatever it might be in terms of who wants to be a millionaire. It's not about showing our understanding to others. It's not about making ourselves look good because we can answer the questions. It's about helping each other develop in our faith. And Philip is a great example of that. But in the spirit of maybe leading by example in some way, you are all given a chance to ask questions, and this is, I'm going to take my chance to ask questions. Normally when you're told to stand up in front of people and speak, you're told not to ask a question that you don't answer, but hey, today's a little bit different. So it occurred to me when I was reading through this passage that there's some interesting things going on here, and I genuinely have a question. I would be genuinely open to people coming up to me afterwards and giving me some insight, because despite a couple of weeks of reading through this, a few bits don't make sense. The bit that was interesting to me is in verse 39, and maybe some of you picked up on the same thing. Verse 39, they've had the baptism, come up out of the water, and it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away." What's going on there? What's that all about? Philip was suddenly taken away. It's not saying that happens. There is other places in the Bible we see similar words, but it's not saying that happens a lot. I kind of maybe wonder, is it a bit like Doctor Who in the TARDIS? Was he there one minute, he started sort of flashing on and off, there were some weird sounds, and then he disappeared? Did he just walk off? Is that what it means, taken away? Did he fly up into the air and disappear into the clouds, or something else? I don't know. It's significant enough that it was written in there that something interesting was going on. What's going on there? And then we know that he suddenly then appeared, or it talks about how he appeared at somewhere a few miles away. Did God just want to get him there quicker, maybe? Did God just want him to carry on with his work? Who knows? But genuinely, answers on a postcard, please. So if you looked at how the passage shows us how we can ask each other questions, an example of how we can hope to engage with each other in the way that Philip does as questions. But the passage is also clearly about baptism, and that's why Adam's here this morning, amongst other reasons, maybe. You're probably glad that we don't do baptism in open rivers. I don't know what the Jubilee's river's looking like or the Thames is looking like this morning. Probably not quite as nice and green as this, maybe. Ours pool's a bit different. But we see at the end of the passage this baptism story and mirrors the baptism we're going to see in a minute. And I don't know if, whilst preparing for baptism, Adam asked a question as direct to you, Andy, as we see in these passages. In verse 36, we see the eunuch. They've just chatted together. Philip's explained to him the good news about Jesus, and he says this: "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" I don't know if it came to that or you're... Sorry? Yeah, okay, fantastic. I do know, because I have had a sneak peek of his what he's going to say in a moment, I do know that Adam is a fantastic example of being willing to say, "Can someone answer my questions?" And he's going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. I do know that, like lots of us, over his life, developing from when he was younger to where he's got to now, he's had lots of questions. I also know that many people here have been part of answering those questions, or at least walking alongside him while he's had those questions and struggled through those questions. So Adam has been a great example of an Egyptian eunuch to us all, Ethiopian eunuch. But what about for us who aren't being baptised this morning? What can we get out of this passage? What does this passage say to us? Part of it is the theme that we've been talking about. It's okay to not be okay. Sometimes we just need to admit that we don't understand it. And hopefully it was actually helpful for some of you texting in some of these messages. I'm just going to think about a few of them. I feel like I should at least answer one more than Andy answered, which was zero. So after putting me on the spot. But there were some questions, I guess, that you could talk about were doubts. And not to pass the buck, but we do have a sermon coming up on it's okay to not be okay and doubt. So hopefully that will help you in some of that. There's some questions about baptism around how do we get baptised? When should we get baptised? What age do we have to be? Do we have to do a speech? Maybe you could ask Adam some of those questions. Maybe something in the passage speaks to you about baptism. There's an interesting bit that it says that verse 37 is missing in our Bibles, and it says at the bottom that someone inserted in some manuscripts a verse 37 to clarify about baptism. We might say more of what it says at the bottom. Maybe that gives you some ideas. It's about a proclamation. And if age is an issue, we'd at least want to speak to the person and understand if they could say something very similar to what verse 37 is missing out in our Bibles, which says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized." That's a nice answer to what it means to be baptized and when we can be baptized. Some of the questions were quite personal and deep and honest. And I really hope that in some way you can answer that. Something it's nice about being almost anonymous texting messages in, but I do hope that whether it's the prayer after the service, whether it's speaking to Andy or one of the elders, whether it's speaking to someone around you in the church, you can answer that question. I'd hate to have those questions left for people to struggle with. So I think that we've tried to do it this morning, but I think one of the things as a challenge for us as a church is that actually we should encourage people to ask questions. We shouldn't be a place that puts people down for asking the wrong type of questions. And it's why we have things like alpha and beta groups for people who want to get an understanding of some of the questions of the Christian faith. And maybe questions very similar to the one in Isaiah come up in those groups. I mean, if you've never been in a church before, what's this stuff about a lamb? Wayne, he's not here this morning, Wayne Dixon's a schools worker, and one of his jokes is about what would happen if you went into school and stood up in front of an assembly of kids and said, "Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb?" It's a pretty strange phrase to drop into normal conversation. And there is times when we have those questions, and that's why we have things like alpha and beta groups, where people in the church will come alongside other people and try and work through some of these questions. We also have things like home groups, CBSI, YAS and Focus and Pulse, and all these different groups are based around a few things. One is that we get to know each other as a group of people in the church. We pray together, meet together regularly. Another is that we read the Bible and study the Bible. And that often, in my experience, flows into a time where we can ask questions. And sometimes it's good for us to have deliberate situations. We can't always just have texts where we can send our questions in by text. It's good to have those situations. So I'd also encourage you, some of these questions here, not to drop all the home group leaders in it this week. But maybe that's a good place to ask some of these questions in your home groups. Maybe that's a place where in a smaller setting you can get a few people to help you with those questions. I know for me it's been very beneficial to have a home group where I'm able to openly ask questions and get answers. And of course, we're not just saying we're limited to only the questions that other people can answer. We have to recognise that sometimes God will speak directly to people. Sometimes we'll get our questions answered by reading the Bible. And sometimes we have to just trust, like we sang about before, in God and his grace. Some of these questions aren't easy answers. Some of these questions can't be answered in a sentence, that's for sure. It's not easy, and I know that many people here will struggle with particular questions, and some of that maybe came out in some of the questions that were texted. Certain areas of our lives are the lives of people we love and care about, and we have questions about that. What does it mean? Why is this happening? Being a Christian doesn't necessarily mean we get all the answers, but it doesn't mean that we should stop trying to ask. And I think, finally, there's a personal challenge for all of us here. Do we let our pride and insecurity get in the way of asking questions? Does it prevent us from admitting we don't know? Are we unable to be like the girl earlier on and say, I don't know? Is that a hard thing for us to say? Maybe for some of it is, actually, for us to admit that we don't know something. How would we respond to the question of, do you understand what you're reading? Would we blank the person and turn away, or would we engage? It's okay to not be okay. It's okay if we don't understand everything. Let's not pretend that we do. It's okay if we don't have all the answers. God can provide other people to answer our questions. God knows us, he understands us, and through his grace wants to help us all. Amen to that.